Hi there, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. I have a question. How would you define an emotional affair, an emotional adultery? What is that? I define it this way. It's whenever your primary emotional attention turns away from your spouse and is redirected to another person other than your spouse. That, to me, is the beginning, at least, of an emotional adulterous affair. We got 30 minutes. Emotional adultery, emotional affair, emotional maybe opposite sex friendship that's just becoming problematic. Question, comment, share with us. 888-888-1717 is the number. Happens a lot. Happens everywhere. Churches, ministries, neighborhoods, Bible studies, choir lofts. It happens. It happens a lot. And in its simplest form, to me, it's whenever your primary emotional attention that should be, you know, focused on your spouse, there's where you should be sharing and gaining and receiving that kind of an emotional connection that God intended to occur between a man and a woman in marriage, turns away for whatever reason. You may be married to a person that doesn't provide emotional support, whatever. We're still responsible for how we act, what we do. I mean, that's 100% our responsibility, so that's not an excuse. But whenever our primary emotional attention turns away from your spouse and is redirected to another person or theirs to another person, that is the beginning of what could be an emotional adultery. And, of course, that's a leading steps into the process of a full-blown affair, as we call it. And today we want to nip it early in the bud. You got to get these things early. You got to make a decision. You know, I heard a great message over the weekend. Don and I visited a church here in town, and Kevin Love, Dr. Love, that's a great name for a pastor. Jeff Love, and Jeff was doing a message on a book he wrote on the idea of painting as an example, pictures as an example of our life, called Life Palette. And he was talking about values and how that relates to values in a paint and so on. And the verse he used comes from the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 is one place you find him, where it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then these other values will be added. And what's so easy for us to do is, instead of seeking God and his priorities for relationship and marriage and family and so on, and just him, we seek other things, and we try to fill those things with other things, and it blows up in our face. So the answer, of course, is to nip it in the bud. Stay focused on the one thing that can make the biggest difference, and that's why we pass out so many of these one-thing wristbands and teach this whole concept of getting back to the primary one thing. And that's to keep your focus on Christ and his teaching for you. If this has been an issue, a challenge, maybe you've learned to deal with it. How have you dealt with this thing on emotional adultery? 888-888-1717.
We determined before we were married that we would never speak disrespectfully of each other to other people, and not just in not making fun of each other, but that we would never say anything to someone outside the marriage that would make our partner uncomfortable. And there's such a feeling of trust between us and confidence, and we can be open and we can be vulnerable. And it makes for a very safe feeling in a marriage, I think.
Just tell each other they love each other without having to say words, you know, just a pat on the back saying, I love you. And just the being with each other when you could be together, and when you're apart, you know that common ground of love for each other is there.
All right. Debbie asked on Facebook, I am the one who's detached. I'm assuming emotionally detached. But how is it adultery? I'm not with, nor do I even think about someone else. I left, but he was hurting so much, I came back. He has been emotionally unattached for 35 years. And one day, I just unplugged too. You know, I think that's the other thing. And what happens is we're created as emotional, passionate beings. God created us with passion and emotions. And we can be cold for a while. We can be numb for a while. But eventually, when those feelings start to kindle once again, where do they turn? And so what we're focusing on here today is emotional adultery in terms of turning our affections away from our spouse to something, you know, and it can be, frankly, sometimes it could be just other things. Our affection becomes our work and so on. And in a form, we can find ourselves attached to other things, get our priorities out of whack. And it happens. Okay, Maria's on the line. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hi, appreciate your call. How do you relate to this?
I relate to this is that I went through the exact situation with the emotional adultery, and it happened about 4 months ago, and, you know, right now we're working through it, and we're at a good place now, but
good.
Listening to your radio today, it just brought me back to that day and what I went through.
Well, good. We're pleased that you're working through it, and it shows that God is certainly capable of helping two people restore a relationship. But for those who are listening, can you go back to how it began that you would do differently? What did you learn that might warn somebody else?
What I learned differently, well, what I learned from this whole thing was, you know, if you are feeling emotionally, you know, unattached, or if you feel like you need some more security, you know, just talk about it. Go up to your spouse and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling insecure. Even though you're giving me everything you've got, you know, for some reason, I'm still missing something. And rather than turn away from the marriage through emotional emailing or whatever, you know, just talk to your partner. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. And when I was caught with the email stuff, you know, it wasn't worth, you know, losing his heart, breaking his heart, and almost losing what I had worked so hard for. And it opened up my eyes to realize, you know, what's important.
Yeah. Not worth it, is it?
It was not worth it at all. And if I had to do it again, you know, I wouldn't do that, because, you know, he is a really great person to just stay by my side. And, you know, and I'm able to show him every day that I am intentional in my own actions. And I still, every day, you know, to this day, I work on myself first, and I make sure that I give him what he needs. And, you know, I just want to be the best person. And it really opened up my eyes, and I'm a new person now today, but I'm just so grateful he was able to work with me and stay by my side.
Hey, were you feeling, as you were going through that process, was there some bondage you started to feel, kind of guilt and things? Was that part of the process you had to go through?
I felt guilty, and I couldn't forgive myself for a long time. It took a long time for me to forgive myself after I did it, so there was no way for me to move on. But once I finally asked, you know, the Lord to show me the way to forgive myself for what I had done, and it helped me work through it.
And it sounds like your husband's on board, too. The two of you are working to make this happen.
Yes.
Good for you. Good. Yeah, listen, ultimately, that's the freedom we can experience in Christ. God is a God of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I find so often is people, Christians, will get caught in these kinds of things, and they're not willing to confess. They become defensive. They take a position instead of saying, hey, in brokenness, I've blown it. I need counsel. I need help. And it sounds like you're working through this, and God's doing something good in your life.
He is, and he has shown me that there's forgiveness, and if you're willing to work at it, you know, you got to forgive yourself and make sure you throw all your emotions out there and get on your knees and just work at it every single day. And your radio also every day has shown me the way to live that way.
Glad you're listening. Stay intentional, Maria. We'll be praying for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day, and God bless you on your new journey here.
My one thing challenge was to speak life into my marriage by giving my husband a word of praise or a word of encouragement every day. Before the challenge, we were having some communication breakdown, and we just weren't really on the same page. After the challenge, we're doing better. We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first before ourselves, and that has really made a difference. Even though it was tough, I did manage to get out the words of encouragement, and it made a huge difference. His reactions to me and his want to please me came so much more freely than me pushing him to try to understand.
Well, listen, congratulations. You're sharing the way God intends for it to work. Not perfectly. We're failed people, and we fail a lot. But God is a God of restoration and forgiveness. But it begins with brokenness and accepting responsibility. The first step in intentional living, if you read the five laws of intentional living, is taking 100% responsibility for your actions, for your things that you do. There's the beginning of healing. You know, when you get up in the morning, and if you're wrestling like I do with maybe eating too much and eating the wrong stuff, You can't blame the grocery store. You got to blame yourself. You put it in your mouth, right? And so it comes down that way all the way across the board, taking responsibility. Okay, Diane is on the line next. Diane, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlton.
Appreciate your call. How do you relate to this, Diane?
Well, I've been with my husband. We've known each other for 35 years, and we've been married 17 years. And this past November, I discovered that he was communicating with a married woman and having an emotional relationship that turned physical.
Hmm.
And at this time right now, still, you know, things have been turbulent, and I've been struggling with that. We are going to counseling, and while I was pursuing my career, actually, I was going to school to become a pharmacist, which he supported. I didn't realize that he got lonely, and he never communicated with me that he needed me. So once that was discovered, I immediately, you know, because I listen to the radio station all the time, and as a godly wife, I wanted to be there for him. So I stopped going to class, and I'm trying to work on a relationship right now, and we're seeing counseling, and it's been really rough. It's been very turbulent, and trying to read scripture and read scripture to him.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he feels like the scriptures that I read, because whatever pops up on my application, it always leads to, having an affair. And I
tell
him, I don't choose these things. They just come up, and I just read them to you. And, you know, I'm trying to live intentionally and trying to hang into our relationship. And I pray every day, and every day it's a challenge. I don't know what's going to happen, but I pray to God all the time.
Well, Diane, this is it's a reminder, and you're not alone. And we'll be praying for you that whenever we don't maintain, and it's like a maintenance. If you don't maintain your car, and there's eventually a problem. If you don't maintain your home or your health, eventually it comes in and can bite you. And that can happen in marriage as well. It's a maintenance issue, maintaining it in a healthy way. I would just ask you to think about this as one perspective. You can't be your husband's Holy Spirit. You can't be his pastor. You can't be the one that says, let's sit down and we're going to read scripture now. This is a process he's going through. What's really important for that man to hear is that you love him, that you choose to forgive him, and you want your marriage to be restored. But out of confidence in your own life, we're going to have to go in a new direction. We've got to work through some new things to make this happen. And so as you go through this process, just make sure in all of the love you have for your marriage and wanting to restore your marriage, you don't come across to him like you're playing as his counselor or Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because it actually, he resents it sometimes, and I don't want him to resent it so much that he wants to, you know, draw away from God. I want him to go closer to God. But
right, but that's not your job. Your job is to, as his wife, to, with confidence, face the issues that are in front of you. There has to be rules and, you know, reasonable boundaries and so on. We can't have three people in a marriage. It just doesn't work. We're not wired that way. That's not the way God intended. And so it's a matter of saying we're going to work on the marriage together. I'd encourage you to get counseling for yourself through this process. But like you say, if he's resenting you because he thinks you're preaching at him too much, just back off and give him space. And we'll be praying that the two of you will see a great reconciliation in your marriage. And again, it comes back to taking 100% responsibility. What would be best for him would be to have accountability with some other men, some godly men who will come alongside of him and hold him accountable and challenge him. I have found whenever I or others that, you know, that I've witnessed over the years that get off track, whenever we as men start to make decisions independent of good, godly, balanced counsel, we tend to make stupid decisions. We don't see the whole picture. And so that would be a challenge. Again, you can't make it. You can't be that person. But I would encourage all men listening, if you find yourself in the kind of situation Diane's husband's in, this is a time to think about, hey, who do I have around me that's giving me the kind of counsel I need to be the man that God wants me to be in my marriage, my family, and in my life?
What are the characteristics of someone who's winning or losing at life? In Dr. Randy's teaching, he looks at Nehemiah and Jonah and how they each responded to the challenges and opportunities in front of them and what we can learn from their stories. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
How do you confront unfaithfulness in a marriage? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. You know, it's important to remember that unfaithfulness is something different than being unloving or unthoughtful. We tend to have those moments in marriage where we act in an unloving way or an unthoughtful way. Maybe something that we say, or we forget to put the toilet seat down, or something that we know is important to our spouse. But faithfulness is foundational. You can't have a marriage without it. So can I encourage you to acknowledge the pain in your heart, the hurt that you're experiencing, but intentionally act with your head? Keep the ball in their court. Get help for yourself and give God an opportunity to move in your marriage. I have seen marriages completely restored after unfaithfulness because of God's intentional love. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
My name is Sylvia. I've been with my husband for 28 years, married 20 of those years, and we've been having financial stress for 5 years. And he started talking with a coworker of his about our financial problems, and in the meantime, he's gotten close to this coworker. He asked my husband who she was. He admitted she was just a friend. But yet, he would not sleep with me anymore. He did not want to talk to me at all. I was begging him every day to quit talking to this woman, quit texting to this woman. So we're at the point where he got sick of me nagging him about what's going on, and I just wonder, I had so many people tell me that, you know, maybe I need to start going to church and ask for help, you know, through God. I have a lot of people praying for me, but I don't feel like nothing has changed, and I'm lost.
I'm so sorry to hear what you've been through. Can I just encourage you in your marriage? Obviously, you need to get plugged into a church. You need to be in a godly environment. You need a lot of support for yourself, good counseling, get around some other godly women who can encourage you. But listen, there's a point where we have to have some tough love in our marriages and families. People have to make choices. Decisions are a responsibility for each of us. It's one of the steps of intentional living is making a decision and then living, managing, and following through on that decision. The decision is he going to be in your marriage with you, committed to you, or is he going to be walking in two different worlds? And I think sometimes begging isn't going to get the answer. The question is, what are you going to do? What direction are you planning to take in your life? You know, that's sometimes tough love, not only with parenting, but also in marriage as well. I hope that helps. Thanks for sharing your testimony. Listen, we'll be praying for you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I was just thinking about this emotional affair and how this becomes a stepping stone, a gateway into full-blown, not only emotional, but physical affair with another person. I mean, it's usually a stepping stone process, a gateway, if you please. And we've got on our website here, intentionals, we call them. They're lists because many of us like to work from lists. We call them the intentionals, top 10 lists from Dr. Randy. This one's on love and respect and marriage. You start working on these 10, your marriage will turn. You can check them out. Come on over to theintentionallife.com. Is that on today's broadcast? Is it? Okay. Go to today's broadcast highlights there. Click on there and it'll take you to it. Just a thought. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Carlson.
What are you facing? What's up?
Well, there is an issue that we have in marriage right now. with the emotional adultery affair, whatever you want to call it. And it's, you know, just a few months back, I found out that my wife has been having a relationship with a friend of hers of the opposite sex. And but the emails they were sending each other were just more than just a hi, how are you, great day, stuff like that. So I confronted her about it, and she said that she had left those emails open intentionally so I can find out about it, because she found that she realized that she was in error.
Why is it you think she did that?
Well, she told me about it. I find out, and I confronted her.
But, I mean, why do you think she wanted you to find out? What? Why do you think she said, I'm going to leave these out so my husband finds them?
Because I told her, you know, I've been going through the emails, and I found that some of the emails are, you know, they were open, and I read them. And because of the sender wasn't anybody that I knew about.
But do you think she left them open for you to see it because she was, in essence, saying, hey, wake up, I need some attention, I need you to step in
that
here?
That too, yes. But that's how I confronted her. And then we both sat down, and she made it right with God, and she repented about it. She apologized to me for having that relationship. But she found out that she was in the wrong. He was getting too close to the fire already.
Mm-hmm.
And but she didn't know how to approach me about it, say, hey, look, this is what's going on. And, you know, I need help. I need to stop this. But she didn't know how to to go about it.
Have you learned anything about yourself through this or your marriage or your...
Brother, did I? And so what happened is this. I mean, we have learned to say, yes, the reason why. I had to accept my responsibility where I've kind of neglected, you know, a little bit. I was always at work. I had a very demanding job, so therefore I spend a lot of time at work. And there's my boss, whatever he says, yes, of course. And he comes to me because he knows that I will say yes, and he can count on the job getting done because I'm going to be there. He can count on me for everything. However, trying to go up the ladder, I'm sacrificing time with in my marriage. So yeah. I realized that, so I didn't blame it all you person, this, you, how you doing this, you know, no, because I had to realize that why she did that. The issue that I'm having now, though, is that, for example, if I call her and she don't answer the phone, thoughts come to my mind of what she doing.
Yeah, that and that's no surprise. You know, you get your finger caught in a car door, you get a little, you know, skittish about the next time you open the car door. It's just human behavior. I mean, if every time I plug something in the wall, it works, after a while I just trust it. But if I plug it in about every fifth time it doesn't work, pretty soon I start to wonder if this is going to be what it is supposed to be. So this is part of the human consequence, frankly, of a broken trust relationship, and it takes time. For your wife, who's not the one who called, I would say to her, her job is to help rebuild trust by being accountable, by answering the phone, by knowing where she is for a while as you're trying to redevelop trust. For you is to continue to trust God, to pray for God's healing in your life, and realize this is going to be a process. Here's what I think. You guys have had a little blowouts, like a tire that blows up. This is an opportunity to get with a counselor, with your pastor, talk about your marriage, about your priorities, about these issues, get them on the table, not to hide them, not to push them back underneath and say, well, that's nobody's, you know, his business right now or her business, and push them down. Get them out there and deal with them for the benefit of your marriage in a healthy, positive way. And that happens within the context of counseling, I think. Hang on, I'd like to send you my book, Starve for Affection. I think it'll help. It focuses on building, rebuilding, and strengthening your marriage. My gift to you. Hang on.
I was divorced 8 years ago and fell into an awful pit and cried out to God.
Seeking God speaks of intentionality.
He started changing my life right away. I started going to church. I was just seeking God, asking Him just to open the eyes of my heart and just wanting to be obedient to His word.
Now, God does all the savings. You don't intentionally get yourself saved, because it's very clear in Scripture, God does the saving We do the living.
I ended up calling my ex-husband and asking for forgiveness, even though I thought it was going to be a terrible situation. He would yell at me, and I didn't want to go through that, but I finally gave in, and I called him, and it was instantaneously. He had already forgiven me.
And it begins for us as Christians to thrive. It has to be a decision that says, I choose to stretch for that which will grow and make me thrive.
We are getting remarried, and my marriage has been restored.
Amen. What a powerful reminder on a program like today where we're talking about emotional adultery. Maybe you feel pretty overwhelmed, confused, conflicted. Just take a moment and ask yourself some questions like, where is this leading me? What if we don't choose to move in a new direction in my life? Are there good things at the end of this path? And the reality is the answer is no. And if you're on the other side of that equation, you know the damage it can put into your life. But when you hear a restoration story like that, it's a reminder of God's goodness and the fact that He is in the business of restoring relationships. And I hope that'll be what happens for you today, that you'll make a decision to be very intentional in heading in a new direction. Get some counseling. Get some perspective before you make a decision, which is the first step in intentional living. Before you really pull the trigger on that decision, you really understand the consequences of what may happen when you do is really important. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month. It's our master class teaching on the difference between being a winner and a loser in life. And I know when we say that, you know, we think in terms of finance and maybe fame and popularity, and that's not what I mean at all. I'm talking about the deep part of our lives, that we have that sense of peace, that we are really winning at life because we're choosing to make good decisions, godly decisions, and then executing on those decisions every day. The lesson this month is such a practical one that I hope maybe you'll apply to teach to your family, or maybe you can use it in one of your small groups, comparing and contrasting the life of Jonah in the Old Testament and Nehemiah. These two guys made a series of decisions, and each led to two different conclusions. In Jonah's case, he made a series of what I consider to be poor decisions. And in the life of Nehemiah, we see him making a series of good decisions. And we see the fact that it impacted each of them in very unique ways. I want you to watch for that lesson. It's coming your way here mid-month, members. Our master class, it'll be video and audio. If you're not a part of Intentional Living, we have some friends of the ministry right now wanting to encourage you to get involved, and they're matching every gift right now, dollar for dollar, for the ministry. So come and join us. We'll make sure that your gift gets matched. Come and join us in monthly support. We'll make sure you're included in our master class, or maybe you could share a special love gift as we close out our fiscal year. Please do that. Call 888-888-1717, press number 2, 888-888-1717, press 2 during business hours West Coast, or go to theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, wow, we got a really powerful program, and some of our own team from the ministry will be joining us to share their powerful story. I hope you'll join us. See you then.